Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. The Reverend James Baumgartner is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
This morning reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, 33 to 39. And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new. For he says, the old is good." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, peace, and mercy are multiplied unto you by God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's quite a bit going on in our short text for this morning, from fasting and feasting, the bridegroom, garments, wineskins, a whole bunch of things. So let's begin with the context of the storyline. When we back up six verses, we encounter the calling of Levi, or Matthew. Jesus goes out and sees what the text says is a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so the context of new and old wineskins and new and old garments is seen in light of the sickness of the human heart, the disease of sin that is so wretchedly corrupted and hopelessly set us apart from a holy God. As David cries out in Psalm 38, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my unrighteousness." And perhaps that's what the Pharisees smell on this occasion. They smell the rot of humanity. Of course, they're overlooking their own stench, but they're calling out the stink of sinners, right? And yet, thanks be to God, Jesus chooses to feast with sinners like this. He chooses to enter into the pit of despair and himself get dirty in the curse of it all, taking on the curse, taking on the disease and the filth and the stench, eventually humbling himself to the point where that muck of human hatred and corruption places him on the cross to die for sinners. And so when Jesus is feasting with sinners in our text, he's doing something that is so radically new that the Pharisees and their scribes, they cannot possibly begin to understand it. They're the ones, of course, who would cross over to the other side of the road and pass by rather than helping someone out of love in their uncleanliness. And so we all know this about them. They're stuck in the old ways of a ritualistic religion, a system of works and good deeds so expertly constructed by the ways of mankind that there is no need to fear that the system would ever come crashing down in their presence. Except it will. It has to. Because such a system of hypocrisy cannot ever enter into heaven. It's nothing but a Tower of Babel, a monument to ourselves. And so in order to uphold the law of God and proclaim the good news that salvation would only come through the work of God and by God's own hands, God himself would need to tear down the institutions of mankind. The bridegroom himself would need to come for his bride in that pit of despair. God himself would need to enter into the stench of sinful creation in a whirlwind of grace as a free gift so that no one may boast. And when he comes, he makes everything new. He doesn't place a band-aid over the top of a wound. No, he is here to recreate. Now, I've used Band-Aids all of my life, and you have too. And despite how they're marketed, we all know that they only work in certain settings, right? They're great if you're just sitting around watching TV, eating biscuits, and drinking tea. That's when they excel at wound coverage. But the second that you add any sort of sweat or dirt or blood or grease or hair or movement or stretching or rubbing or tears or wind or rain or snow, essentially anything that exists in the real world, Band-Aids fall off. And that's not a knock on the brand. That's just a reality of a world that is so much more harsh than what Band-Aids can fix. And so while they were all well and good in their own right, every single prophet and priest and king in the old covenant is sort of a Band-Aid. I mean, sure, they were expertly placed by the Lord's own hands, and they worked for a time and for a season, but soon death caught up with them all, and the harsh realities of a fallen creation takes them away. One would come, and for a time the land and the people would have rest. And in the end, though, the book of Judges reminds us that whenever they would depart, any prophet, priest, or king, really, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, Jesus did not come to place a Band-Aid on the leprous heart of his bride. That's what the garment and the wineskins mean. As our true prophet, Jesus proclaims the word of God to us fully. And as our true priest, Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice for our sin fully. He intercedes with the Father on our behalf fully. And as our true king, Jesus rules over all creation fully, especially for the good of his church. And so Christ came to completely uproot the heart of sin, to fulfill the law, and to banish the accusation. Because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. Healed not from a distance, but from the touch of your very own Creator. Healed not as slapping lipstick on a pig, or whitewashing a tomb, or bandaging a wound, or sewing a new patch, or on an old garment, or placing new wine into old wineskins. No, because today salvation has come to this house. And the bridegroom has come for his bride, and the feast is prepared, and there is much rejoicing in the presence of the true prophet and true priest and true king, the great physician. And the Pharisees and the scribes, indeed, they were hearing, but they were not understanding. They were seeing, but never perceiving. Their hearts had grown dull by trusting in their own works. But even if they had turned in that moment, Jesus would heal them. Because Jesus wasn't offering a patch for an old system. He wasn't offering grace only for it to be housed inside of works. He was offering a new garment of righteousness. He was clothing his bride in splendor and holiness and honor. He was offering the cup of salvation filled with the new wine of salvation, his very own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's why sinners in our text today can rejoice in the presence of the Lord. That's why they can feast. That's why those who are hungry for righteousness can feast upon his goodness and be satisfied. Because they know they don't deserve to be there. And yet they have freely tasted and seen that the Lord is so good. You know, there's an old spiritual dating back to the 1870s, and it goes in numerous hymnals. It's not in ours, and you've heard it. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. And the assumption that we all have is that it's talking about Christianity and Jesus and faith and hope and love. I hate to ruin it for you, but that song says nothing about any of all of that. It's just old-time religion. And that's so generically vague, right? And when you are generically vague with your religion, you'll default to a religion of good works like the Pharisees. Because that's really all they wanted. They just wanted the old-time religion. They had those old wineskins and that old garment that they wanted maybe Jesus to fit into. But Jesus would not accept that. Like the last verse of our text, Jesus says that you're going to prefer the old wine, Pharisees. That wine has been drunk since the fall of mankind. It's our default. It's our exposed nature to return like a dog to its vomit, to the folly of salvation by good works. But in the presence of the Lord, Jesus brings a new garment. He brings a new wineskin. His body and his blood brings feasting. He brings eternal healing. And so it was that his departure unto death later on was felt by sinners. There was weeping and there was fasting, but joy comes in the morning because Christ has risen. And His ascension to the right hand of God surely gives us pause today. His church on earth is caught up in the now, but also the not yet. The darkness of night with a new dawn on the horizon, a time of celebration and yet a time of longing, right? You live in the reality of the new creation, even as the old one is painfully groaning and aching all around you. But you were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Because as surely as the sun rose on this new day, behold, He is making all things new, and it will soon be done. He is the Alpha, He is the Omega, He is the beginning, and He is the end. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.